Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. This podcast series explores the world of mineral and resources careers in Australia. And with hundreds of diverse career choices open across the mining and energy sector, opportunities exist on remote sites, in city-based offices, and high-tech control and management centres, in science, as well as in computer laboratories, in a mix of locations across Australia. And the mining industry is driving a recruitment program to showcase the career opportunities and the diversity of work in the industry. They're asking people to be part of the solution, to take up the challenge and to help change the industry, drive sustainability, and to recognise how the industry is critical as a partner in the renewable sector and our economy as a whole. Let's welcome our panellists today. We have got Darryl Cox, and Darryl is an industry engagement partner, and Dr. Gavin Lind, and Gavin is the CEO of Australian Minerals and Energy Skills Alliance. Hello, boys.
Hi there, how are you?
Hello, Chrissy, how's it going?
Hi, so how long have both of you actually been working in this industry for? Darryl, you go first, go on.
Oh, in the mining and energy sectors, probably around 20 years, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. So you've racked up a few years of experience. What about you, Gavin?
I've never not worked in the industry, and that goes from I studied mining engineering, and my very first experience was in the deep level gold mines of South Africa. So, you know, working five kilometers underground. That was, you know, from 1993 when I was an undergraduate right up until now, being a mix of an academic, working in policy, working in the industry. So, yeah, never not working.
It's one of those industries that kind of gets its claws into you. I remember sending one of my girlfriends went out for a 2-week prac course when she was doing a surveying course, which she was basically doing, everyone, just to keep herself occupied while she figured out what she really wanted to do. And that was many, 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 many years ago at a couple of houses ago. So she's done quite well for herself out of 2 weeks just trialing on a mine site. That's where she's ended up. I think she was in a real estate office before that. Right, let's give people some insight into this pathway, this career pathway. Gavin, can you provide us with some insight into what's happening in the minerals and energy sector in terms of changing careers and the skills that are needed?
Yeah, thank you, Chrissy. It's a fascinating industry. Do you know there's about 275,000 people work directly in mining in Australia? And that when you expand that to the greater value chain of mining equipment technology services, that's about 1.1 million. So almost 1 in 10 Australians actually works in this industry, and it keeps growing. I mean, we know that there's at least another 25,000 jobs required in the next few years, and that is starting to increase because of things like technology adoption, such as automation, robotics, data, these very interesting things, but also because the operations are growing and expanding. So it's certainly an industry that is, you know, still in demand. There's very interesting jobs around. And Chrissy, when you made the introduction, it is all about these amazing opportunities across the country. So what we're seeing is a need for people in trades, traditional trades. We're also seeing those that are wanting to transition into new things and want to, you know, bring their trades to our industry. And we want to show them how to do that.
So you guys, as you're coming through now, we know that you want to have a career that has a positive impact, that embraces a sense of purpose, that you have multiple career paths in, sustainable approaches, socially responsible. So how is the mining and resources sector responding to those requirements?
Okay, so the industry takes its environmental, social and governance, it's called ESG credentials, very, very seriously. And that's all about leaving a positive impact on the communities where the operations are, leaving a positive environmental legacy as well. And I know there's been many examples in the past where things have not gone as well, but I think it's the industry knowing for certain that it's a delicate ecosystem. Because mining is so important to Australia, we need to be positive with our communities as well. So that legacy bit is very, very important. And in terms of, you know, the multiple career paths and sustainable approaches, I think being values-based is important because you can bring your values to this industry and certainly assist the industry in doing those things better.
Yeah, I think it's really changed a lot in the last, I was going to say 10 years, but I think probably 5 years. I mean, 5 years ago, we probably were only just starting to hear about ESG and other things, but I think the last 5 years and certainly probably the last 12 months is bringing on a significant change in mining and where we sit in the world, realistically. I mean, the diversity and inclusion agenda has really come through. I mean, we've really got that social responsibility, have more of a diverse workforce, an inclusive workforce. But I think although there are environmental credentials, I guess, really need coming through as well.
Daryl, describe what you're looking for when you're recruiting people. What are the attributes and the skills that people need?
Well, years ago, it used to be a pulse. As long as they had a pulse, you could almost get into the mining industry. But that's, you know, progressed a fair way nowadays. Realistically, you're looking for motivation. People that are motivated to really start and get going. People that can work autonomously. I mean, we have a lot of places and live autonomously because we have, you know, a lot of FIFO workers and others. So they've really got to get going by themselves, realistically. Looking for a culture. I mean, a culture of, you know, a positive culture. I talked before about that diversity and inclusion piece. There's got to be a real commitment to that diversity and inclusion piece, I think, for even new people coming in. And that safety awareness, the safety culture is critical to ensure the safety of our people. And that's mental and physical health as well.
And that's great to know. I remember doing an awards night for BHP a while ago up in Newman, and 35-year service awards, we were handing them out.
Yeah.
And one of the ladies there, she remembers working down in the pit wearing singlets and no hard hat. No, it was just ridiculous. She said, now 35 years on, she's actually the safety officer up there. And the whole perception's changed, but they feel a lot safer as well. You know, there's so many stories like that. So what sort of training? You mentioned a pulse was, you know, what you needed 30 years ago. But in this day and age, what sort of training do you have to have before you go on to a mine site or into the industry? And what does the industry offer to keep people upskilled and on pathways to success, Daryl?
Well, it's a huge question because every role has specific training that they need to do, and whether that's vocational or statutory requirements. And a lot of the statutory bodies across Australia will say these are the things you need. But there's still, you know, inductions. It's very focused on safety, keeping our people safe. But more and more it's coming into cybersecurity, and it's coming into, you know, codes of conduct and what that, you know, what that entails. There's a lot of training that needs to go through. Keeping people on, I mean, we would offer, you know, apprentices pathways into engineering programs, apprentices in technical programs, you know, specialized programs that come from, you know, OEMs, original equipment manufacturers like Caterpillar and Komatsu and others. That's, you know, the technical capabilities still need to be built, and you know, mining engineers, other things. There's so many things, so it's hard to put a, you know, a little, you know, bucket to say these are all the things that we offer. It's so much. For every role has a different, you know, skill requirement, and even the development of people within those roles, you know, going to leadership levels and other things. There's just so much.
Once you do manage to get in there, how secure is the sector in terms of career progression and future jobs?
Well, as you said earlier, there was, you know, someone there for 35 years. You don't see many people that have not worked here for multiple years. I think if you've got a good attitude, if you've got motivation, you'll be here almost forever. It's a lifelong job, like Gavin. You know, Gavin tells himself, yeah, he's been there since the start. He hasn't done anything else other than that. So you see so many of them, you know, 50 years in the industry, 35, 50, 40 years. There's so many people.
I was talking to a driller the other day underground. He'd been underground for 45 years out past, up past Coolcardy, Frog's Legs it was. It wasn't the mine site out there. I thought, you really enjoy it that much? He said, I love it. He said, I love working by myself. He said, I actually love the team when I come up, but I just love working by myself. So there's jobs that cater to all sorts of personalities, isn't there, within this industry?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, there is.
Hey, Gavin, what does the sector offer people? Why do you think they should choose mineral and energy industry organisations?
Well, I think the sector offers jobs that are interesting. The way Daryl just described these career trajectories and career pivots, if you want to call it that, I think so much has happened in the industry over so many years that technology adoption is one of those. And, you know, the current workforce is, in fact, the future workforce. So, you know, I think that's the point, is you stay because it's diverse, you stay because it's interesting. I think the option to travel must be so exciting. I mean, I've myself lived in Kalgoorlie for part of my career. And if you've never lived in regional remote Australia, I'd say put your hand up and just go and do it. It's the most amazing opportunity. It's exactly, it's the community. The community simply doesn't let you fail. You know, they want you to be part of the experience. They want you to be part of the narrative.
Yeah.
So I love flying in,
flying out is a great opportunity. But having lived in Kalgoorlie and places like that, I loved being on the ground. It was fantastic. And we used to offer the guys that were coming in, fly in, fly out, we used to open our house on a Wednesday night. We'd watch Spicks and Specks on the ABC and I'd cook them a home-cooked meal. But it was, you know, trying to get them to be part of the community. And you'd be amazed at how many people sort of went, oh, bugger this, I'll just stay. And they loved it. And a lot of younger people, you know, you get to travel around the world on different mindsets internationally. But when you have a young family too, and this is something for people to think about, if you're looking at having a family, being in a regional country town, a little town with a great community, couldn't think of anything better for bringing up kids. So when you're looking at your life and you're trying to divide things up in the future, working in mining in a regional town, and for those of us too who choose to take a few years out of our career and then come back in, they are so helpful in getting you back into careers and retraining. Do you find that, guys?
Yeah, totally. Almost agree. Definitely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And Daryl, I don't know if what points you've got, but I think it's those career on ramps and off ramps. So, you know, career interruptions, maybe to have a young family, and particularly how the industry is looking specifically to support women to get those entryways back in after taking a break for parental leave. I think that's something the industry does very well and should be very proud of. And Daryl, I don't know what your experience is.
I think probably, again, over the last few years, we've really taken it on board. I think, you know, some of our, you know, strategies we have for, you know, engagement of people when they come back to the workforce has probably industry leading in some respects. You know, the part where you, whether it's male or female, taking the time off, you know, maternity leave or paternity leave, that's the word I was looking for, you know, they're equal on most, you know, most mining companies now. So it's fantastic that, because I know I was a stay-at-home dad when my second child turned up, I stayed home for 3 months. It was fantastic. And I've got probably a really good bond with my son because of it. Not to say that I don't have bonds with the other kids, but that one really having a strong bond.
They're not favourite children.
Yeah, no favourite children. No. But yeah, no, it's really good. And that's, you know, that was years and years ago, but now it just seems to be the norm, which is great.
Yeah, I like it. There are many career paths, and you are, as you say, supported as you go along your career as well, which is awesome. Daryl, is there any particular suggestion, anything, one particular piece of advice you'd give to people considering this as a career pathway?
Yeah, I think, be ready to take on those challenges. I think there's options, as Gavin talked about. You know, if you've got an opportunity to go to a regional town, go. You know, if you're one of those people that just takes opportunities as they turn up, it's endless, because you may go there for a few years. You know, I know people that have gone to Canada and Chile for a couple of years. They've come back much better for it, much more exposed to the world, and they progress very quickly throughout the ranks when they come back to Australia or wherever. And I think there's a whole talk about autonomous, you know, and even if every I read this the other day, even if every truck, you know, turned autonomous, we would still need people to maintain it. If you need to maintain that, you still have to, you know, do a mine plan. You still have people to feed those people that are on site. All those things happen. And I think it was in today's feed, I read something that a two-year-old can outclass a robot with manual skills every time. We still can't get a robot to do that. So I thought that was a really fantastic line. It was from the University of New South Wales, I think, someone there. I can't remember the quote now. It was fantastic.
All right, boys. It's been a great chat. We are going to have to wrap it up there. Unless, Gavin, you've got anything seminal you want to add to this conversation?
My one bit of advice is be part of, your values are important to make the mining industry better, and be part of and be proud of this industry, because it makes Australia great.
Team, thanks so much for joining us today. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And if you'd like more information on careers and working in the industry, take a look at the Minerals Council website. Gavin, what is that one again?
Minerals.org.au.
Fantastic. Thanks, team. Looking forward to catching up with everyone next time. Goodbye.